Hello everyone and welcome to the AstroPage Daily Review podcast by Mikhail Lisakov, episode 18. Today is still 2020, November 19th, and today I have a paper which has AGN in the title but is not about AGN. So the paper by Rosalba Perna entitled Electromagnetic Signatures of Relativistic Explosions in AGN Disks. Let's start with the abstract. The disks of active galactic nuclei, traditionally studied as the feeders of the supermassive black holes at their centers, have recently triggered a lot of interest also as hosts to massive stars and hence their neutron star and black hole remnants. Migration traps and gas torques in these disks favor binary formation and enhance the rate of compact object mergers. In these environments, both long gamma-ray bursts from the death of massive stars and short gamma-ray bursts from neutron star, and neutron star black hole mergers are expected. However, the properties in the unique environments of AGN disks have never been studied. Here we show that GRBs in AGNs can display unique features owing to the unusual relative position of the shocks that characterize the burst evolution and the Thomson photosphere of the AGN disk. In dense environments, for example, the external shock develops before the internal shocks, leading to prompt emission powered by a relativistic reverse shock. The transient time evolution is also compressed, yielding afterglow emission that is much brighter and peaks much earlier than for GRBs in the interstellar medium. Additionally, in regions of the disk that are sufficiently dense and extended, the light curves are dominated by diffusion, since the fireball is trapped inside the disk photosphere. These diffusion-dominated transients emerge on timescales of days in disks around supermassive black holes of about 1 million solar masses, 2 years for supermassive black holes of hundreds of millions of solar masses. Finally, a large fraction of events, especially in AGNs with supermassive black holes less than 10 millions of solar masses, display time-variable absorption in the X-ray band. For me, this paper is something out of this world. And after reading the abstract, I was both disappointed and interested. Disappointed because I thought it would be a paper about AGN, but it is not. And interested because I thought, why ever people think of GRBs emerging from AGN disks? So I decided to skim through the introduction, and I was totally captured by the paper. And unconsciously, I read it almost till the end. So the paper is very well written, and all the plots in the paper, which would be very difficult to understand otherwise, are very well and very clearly explained in the text. Like, the authors have guided me through all the different options and scenarios that they have considered. So what is it all about? So the authors start with stating that there must be some massive stars and remnants of massive stars in accretion disks of AGNs. And since central parts of a galaxy are usually very populated, there should be a lot of such objects. Some of them could be captured by the disk from outside, and some, as authors claim, could form and evolve even inside the AGN disk. In this paper, the authors focused on long GRBs, and their main question is whether one could detect any emission from these GRBs which happen inside an AGN disk, and could this GRB possibly outshine the disk itself. The authors consider several scenarios of a GRB that happens inside an AGN disk. And in these scenarios, there are different ratios of characteristic radii in the GRB explosion with the AGN disk photosphere size. So here are these radii. The smallest one is the photospheric radius, which is the radius at which the fireball becomes transparent. The next one is the internal shock radius, at which some of the bulk energy of the outflow is dissipated by collisions between shells that were ejected with different Lorentz factors. The next one is external shock radius, at which the fireball has collected an amount of mass comparable to its rest mass divided by its Lorentz factor. The next goes the non-relativistic radius, at which the mass swiped up is large enough to cause the deceleration of the blast wave to non-relativistic speed. This radius is one of the most important for this research. Then goes the disk photospheric radius, defined as the location within the disk from which the radiation can escape. And finally, the burst can ionize everything up to photoionization radius. And in an unusual environment of an AGN disk, this radii can be mixed up, leading to different scenarios and different expected observational properties of the GRBs. The first outcome is a normal GRB, which happens when the central supermassive black hole is around 1 million solar masses, and it leads to the shock waves being relativistic throughout the whole thickness of the AGN disk. In this case, both prompt gamma rays and the later afterglow radiation are produced after the fireball has exited the disk photosphere. The second case is when the prompt gamma ray emission and the afterglow are produced inside the disk photosphere, and the shock waves are non-relativistic already inside the disk. And in this case, the afterglow and the transient are diluted, and it could happen on the timescales of even years for black hole masses of around 100 million solar masses. And there is also an intermediate case when the later afterglow is like for the normal GRB and the gamma ray transient, and the early afterglow can be diluted by the diffusion, but not more than by 1 hour. Another point is that in these extremely high environments, like an AGN disk, the emission of GRBs should be also brighter than in the interstellar medium. And the authors claim that for a typical AGN luminosity and for a typical GRB luminosity, in the optical band, the transient could be like 5 times brighter than the AGN. So, despite this, this was a really nice paper to read. I don't know if the authors have actually answered their first question. Could we observe gamma ray bursts from AGN disks? At least I still have no idea about that. It would be great to see some estimates of how often could that happen in AGN disks, and how, for example, a GRB could affect a spectral energy distribution of an AGN. So there are some questions left, but I hope to see the answers in the future publications of these authors. Thank you for listening today, and see you tomorrow.